Chaitanya-pramitananda, Sri Adhagadhara, Shivasadhi, Gaur, Bhakta, Vrindakya, Shri Shri Radha, Krishna, Gopinath, Shyam, Kundarada, Kundarada, Giri, Govardhan, Ki Jai, Shri Shri Vrindavandam, Ki Jai, Shri Shri Namrutnam, Ki Jai, Shri Shri Mayapurnam, Ki Jai, Shri Shri Mataradam, Ki Jai, Shri Shri Jagannathpuridam, Ki Jai, Tulasi Devi, Ki Jai, Bhakti Devi, Ki Jai, Kangamai ki jai, Jamunamai ki jai, Gaur Premanand, Hari Rasa Sankirtan ki jai, Shri Shri Guru ki jai, Shri Shri Guru Gauranga ki jai, Shri Shri Radha Gopinath ki jai, Shama Veta Bhakta Vrinda ki jai, all glories to Sambhu, all glories to Sambhu, all glories to Sambhu. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
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 So today being the Shringa Chaturdasi, and yesterday being the appearance day of Jayananda Prabhu, I'm going to speak a little about Jayananda this morning, Jayananda Prabhu, and then this evening about Lord Srinadeva and his pastimes. So, I don't think you had a talk on Jayananda Prabhu yesterday?
No? Last night.
Well, I'll try to elaborate a little bit on it. We'll just read the verse, and we can speak for a few minutes on the verse first. So we're reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, 7th canto, 3rd chapter, 32nd verse. Tata,
tata,
pata,
pata,
param,
param,
naparam,
naparam,
apyanejat,
apyanejat,
echat,
echat,
chat,
chat,
kinshit,
kinshit,
yatiriktam,
yatiriktam,
asti,
asti,
vidya,
vidya,
alas,
alas,
te,
te,
tanavash, Sarva,
Sarva,
Yagargo,
Yagargo,
Si, Srihat,
Srihat,
Tri Krishna,
Tri Krishna,
Taparam na paramapyanejat, Taparam na paramapyanejat,
Taparam na paramapyanejat,
Tacha kinshit vyatiriktamasti, Chakram Jid Vatiriktamasti Yakalaste Tanavascha Sarva
Yakalaste Tanavascha Sarva
Yakalaste Tanavascha Sarva
Yakalaste Tanavascha Sarva
Nyagarbo Sibrihatri Krishna
Nyagarbo Sibrihatri Krishna
Anyagarbo Sibrihatri Krishna
Anyagarbo Sibrihatri Krishna
Taparam na param apyaneja
Taparam na param apyaneja
Jascha kinchit vyatiriktamasti
Jascha kinchit vyatiriktamasti
Yadkalaste tanavascha sarva
Yadkalaste tanavascha sarva
Garbo Sibrihatri Krishna
Garbo Sibrihatri Krishna
Param na paramapyaneja
Param na paramapyaneja
Jaksha kinshit vyatiriktamasti
Jaksha kinshit vyatiriktamasti
Vidyakalaste tanavascha sarva
Vidyakalaste tanavascha sarva
Garbo Sibrihatri Krishna
Garbo Sibrihatri Krishna
Sibrihatri Krishna
Vidata se narasya sarva.
Hirandigapo shibihatri vissa.
Hirandigapo shibihatri vissa. Stationary or moving. From knowledge derived from the Vedic literatures like the Upanishads and from all the sublimbs of the original Vedic knowledge, The knowledge derived from the Vedic literatures like the Upanishad and from all the sublimbs of the original Vedic knowledge form your external body. You are Hiranyagarbha, the reservoir of the universe, but nonetheless, being situated as the supreme controller, you are transcendental to the material world, which consists of the three modes of material nature. So I'll just read it responsibly. There is nothing separate from you. There is nothing separate from you.
Whether it be better or lower.
Whether it be better or lower.
Stationary or moving.
Stationary or moving.
The knowledge derived.
From the Vedic literatures,
like the Upanishads, and from all the sublimbs of the original Vedic knowledge, from your external body, form your external body. You see, you are Hiranyagarbha, the reservoir of the universe. But nonetheless, being situated as the supreme controller, you are transcendental to the material world, which consists of the three modes of material nature. The word param means the supreme cause, and aparam means the effect. The supreme cause is the supreme personality of Godhead, and the effect is material nature. The living entities, both moving and non-moving, are controlled by the Vedic instructions in art and science, and therefore they are all expansions of the external energy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is the center as the Super Soul. The Brahmans, the universes, exist during the duration of a breath of the Supreme Lord. Isyaika Navashita Kalam Atavalambya Jivati Loma Vilaja Jagananda Nata. Thus they are within the womb of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Mahavishnu. Nothing, therefore, is separate from the Supreme Lord. This is the philosophy of Achintya Veda Veda Tattva.
Om Ginatimiran Visaganamjana Salakaya Chaksurum Ritam Jina Tasmai Sri Ravayama Sri Chaitanamano Visam Stapitam Jina Bhutale Svayam Rupa Kadamayam Tati Svaparatika. So Prabhupada is emphasizing in his purport that nothing is actually separate from the Supreme Lord and that everything is controlled by the Vedic instructions in what he calls art and science, and therefore they're all expansions of the external energy of the Supreme Lord. So it is stated in Bhagavad Gita also, Mamai Vamso Jiva Loke Jiva Bhuta Sanatana, that everything is part and parcel, everyone is part and parcel of Krishna. Mana Shashtan Indriyani Prakriti Stani Karshiti, that everything is a part and parcel of the Supreme Lord and nothing is separate from him. So Prabhupada is also talking about the Intuvada Veda philosophy, that Krishna is one with everything and yet he is separate in his own existence from everything. This was the original teaching of Lord Chaitanya to Sanatana Goswami when he came before him and said, okay, Ami, who am I? He didn't know who he was or what he was doing or where he was going. He was given the instruction that one should understand the Supreme Lord is divided and yet he is undivided. He is Achintya Veda Veda Tattva, inconceivably one and different. So this morning we're going to discuss some of the pastimes of Jayananda Prabhu. And in reference to this philosophy, he was a devotee who we will call a pure devotee, who understood the essence of Krishna consciousness, of the Achintya Veda Veda Tattva philosophy, and exemplified it in his life, in his philosophy, in his activities, in his devotion to Prabhupada. I'll talk something about his pastimes, and this may not be exactly chronological, but I may jump around a little bit. I'll try to touch on the highlights of his activities and pastimes and tell as many incidents or anecdotes as I can recall. So you read from this last night, did you? Did you read the whole thing?
Three quarters of it. Oh, okay.
So I can use this as a basis. First of all, we want to establish Jayananda Prabhu's relationship with Prabhupada, and if we canonize him as we do and glorify him and set aside a day for feasting, then we should know what his relationship with Prabhupada was and what Srila Prabhupada's personal estimation of it was. So one of the things that Prabhupada wrote after he heard about the passing of Jayananda was that he had attained a spiritual world. The description of his passing was given to Srila Prabhupada. There were devotees surrounding him. He had the garland that fell from the body of Lord Jagannath at 4:30 in the morning. It was brought to his room and garlanded around him. And devotees were chanting in his ear. And he had playing a tape recorder of Srila Prabhupada also chanting in the other ear. And when all these things were described to Prabhupada, how he left, Prabhupada said he had attained the spiritual world. It's a very rare thing to hear such a thing said by Srila Prabhupada. I don't know of it being said about anybody else. Maybe it had, but it's not something I'm aware of. So that was one way we can estimate how Prabhupada thought of his disciple, Jayananda. In another instance, Jayananda Prabhu was the leader of the Rathiyatra Chariot Festival in New York. The first one that took place in New York went down Fifth Avenue, the first major festival in New York. It was 1975 or 76, I don't remember the exact year. Anyway, when Prabhupada remembered all the things that had happened, he said, he had written a letter to Jayananda Prabhu, and he said, you have fulfilled my most cherished dream by bringing the Rathiyatra Festival down Fifth Avenue. You fulfill my most cherished dream. Those are his exact words. So in another way, we appreciate not only the fact that he attained the spiritual world, but that he satisfied Prabhupada even while he was still in his material body, while Prabhupada was still present. And he worked very hard on that festival. He and another devotee named Toshan Krishna worked very hard to make it a reality, to make the vision of the dream going down Fifth Avenue come true. The reason, one of the reasons Prabhupada appreciated it so much was that this street, Fifth Avenue, is the street on which most of the major parades take place in the United States. That's where the St. Patrick's Day parade takes place. There's something called the Macy's Day Parade, and then when all of the war heroes paraded after the World Wars down the main avenues, this is the street that they were driven in their cars for, and people were throwing confetti and big streamers down from the buildings all along the route. So this is the famous parade route, and therefore Prabhupada was very pleased to know that Pratyatra took place on this street, and it's been going down there ever since. It'll take place again this summer, in New York now, in June, sometime in June, or maybe early July. So that pleased Prabhupada very much, and when the festival was all organized, Prabhupada asked that a special certificate should be issued for Jayananda Prabhu and Toshan Krishna, who worked on the festival, honoring them for the hard work that they rendered. So just to, the one that Jayananda organized, he was ill at the time. This is one of the amazing things about him. He had lymph node terminal cancer. He led that parade by steering the Jagannath Festival, even though he was in a very stricken condition and was the kind of leader of the whole parade right down Fifth Avenue. So, to talk a little of how he dealt with this disease, he was in a hospital in New York and had various intravenous bottles introducing intravenous into his veins and was restricted on what he could eat. But one day he became very tired of eating very restricted diet that devotees brought him, and he asked Chitsukananda to bring him pakoras. In those days they used to serve pakoras in a big tub-like affair that was about 20 inches long by, or maybe a little bit bigger, by about 18 inches wide and 5 or 6 inches deep. So Chitsukananda filled one of these things up almost completely with pakoras and brought him to Jayananda, who had been on a starvation diet for weeks in the hospital. And according to Chitsukananda, he ate the whole thing. He might have left a few, but he had an enormous appetite and was known to be able to eat large quantities of prasadam. So we told Chitsukananda that he didn't like being in this hospital because this intravenous was introducing antibiotics into his system. And he used to complain that he had terrible, horrific dreams at night. And he didn't really want to stay there. He said he would rather just let the disease consume him and just go about life without having to be... It's kind of like poison or intoxication to have all these drugs inside. So one day he called Chitsukananda to his room and said, I'm going to leave this hospital. So he said, why don't you go out, I'll get ready, and why don't you go out into the waiting room and I'll join you. So he went out to the waiting room, and then he waited for a while, and Jayananda didn't come, and he came back and said, are you going to come? He said, yeah. I said, but what are you doing in the waiting room? And he said, well, I'm just waiting. And he said, are there people there? And he said, yeah. I said, so you should preach to them, and then I'll come. So he was kind of a new devotee. He hadn't done much preaching before. So he sat down on the floor of this waiting room. There were about four people sitting around in chairs, couches, and he pulled out his kartal and started to chant. And after he chanted, he started to speak, and he preached them about Krishna consciousness. And while he was speaking, it was the first time he'd done this to strangers, Jayananda had pulled out all the intravenous needles and changed from the hospital garb into his own clothes and then came out to see him. He was very happy to see Chitsukananda was preaching. So and Chitsukananda were walking out of the hospital, and they, at the desk, said, who are you, and where are you going? They sort of recognized Jayananda, and he told them that he was leaving the hospital, couldn't stay there anymore. And they said something about, well, you have to get discharged, you have to fill out papers, and he just kept on walking. So he completely renounced the treatment in order to live in a temple with the bodhis and eat prasadam and to live out the rest of his life in a peaceful, Krishna conscious way. So I'll just go back a little bit too. This is a little, discursive in time. It's going to go back and forth, but I want to just touch on the highlights as I remember them. His mother and father were very ordinary by American standards. His father worked for he was an engineer, and he worked for a company, a paint company. I think it's called Sherwin-Williams. And his mother was a housewife. And there were many things about him that they thought were unusual. And one of them was, once his mother took him to church when he was very small, maybe about 5 or 6. And she noticed that, this is what she told me once, that he was looking all around as if he were looking for someone in the church, kind of looking under the pews and behind the counters and just looking all around. And she said, Jimmy, what are you looking at? You look like you're looking for something. And he said, yeah, I'm trying to see where God is. She said, Jimmy, what are you looking at? You look like you're looking for something. He said, yeah, I'm trying to see where God is. Used to have a reunion. And somehow or other, was told at one of the reunions that he had joined the Hare Krishnas. One of his classmates, who's still alive, I think, was in Durban, South Africa, about 15 years ago. And his friend just happened to take him to the Hare Krishna festival. It was the Rath Yatra festival. And he saw this picture of Jayananda, who he knew from school. In fact, he knew him very well. They were actually very good friends, even were close friends. So, by looking at him, he couldn't recognize him because he was shaved up and looked so much older than when he remembered him as a teenager. But he was sure that he knew the person. He just had no idea who it was. He just couldn't tell. He thought it was very amazing that he's in this framed picture hanging from this chariot in this festival. And it was a big, glorious festival in Durban. So he started asking people who it was, and they said, that's Jayananda. Oh, okay. didn't really make any connection. And then he started asking people, well, is there any other name for him? And he said, well, yeah, he had another name before he was a devotee. And so he said, okay, do you know what that was? Nobody knew. So he kept asking and asking. And finally somebody knew his name. And then it clicked, and he remembered it was his old friend, his name was Jim Kaur. So he got so excited that he thought he had to find out about him. And then he asked more devotees about him, and they told him that he had passed away. So that even piqued his curiosity more, and he felt very sad that Jayananda had passed away. This man actually was not only in that class, but he wrote the letters for the reunions. He would send letters out, and he was kind of an organizer of these reunions. So this got him inspired. It was called Oakwood High School in Dayton, Ohio. So he decided that he would try to contact Jayananda's parents just to tell them, what an amazing coincidence this was that he met the devotees and his son's picture was there. Not only was he there, but the devotees would tell him how that he was a special person. So he remembered that his father's name was the same as his name, and he remembered the name of the company that he worked for. So from Durban, South Africa, he started making telephone calls to this company, asking if they had a man named Jim Kaur working for them. And he somehow located their headquarters and was able to track down the telephone number of the parents of Jayananda, and he phoned them and told them about this amazing incident that was occurring, that they were there and that they were carrying his picture in the chariot, and all the devotees loved him, and he was the hero of the festival, and so on and so on. So he got very inspired talking to them. Then, after he got back to the United States, he lives near Los Angeles, California, he decided to write about this. He writes a kind of newsletter for this graduating class, Oakwood High School, class of whatever it was, 55 or something like that. So in the letter, he wrote about a page and a half. I don't know, did you read this yesterday? He wrote about a page and a half. Dear classmates of class 55 or whatever it was, Oakwood High School, I want to tell you about an incident that occurred in, of all places, Durban, South Africa. And then he began to relate this experience, how he saw the picture, he didn't recognize it, how it was a very big festival. He was having a great time, the food was good, the people were nice, the singing was great, the festivities were something he would remember all the rest of his life, and so on. And then he said that he asked the devotees about what became of Jayananda after his death. And he said, well, I don't know if I have this exactly right, but from what I understand, the Hare Krishnas believe that you're reincarnated each time you die, but that some people, instead of getting reincarnated, go back to the spiritual world and live with Krishna. So this is what happened to Jayananda, our old classmate, Jim Kaur. He went back, according to the devotees, to the spiritual world, and he's now living with Krishna. He's not going to be reincarnated anymore. And he said, they treated me so well, once they heard I was a friend of Jayananda's, that I was amazed. I had the red carpet treatment, I had the best food, I met all the top people. So he said, if you ever go to a Hare Krishna festival, I mean, they have these all over the world, just tell them that you know Jayananda. Don't say Jim Kaur, say you're a friend of Jayananda's and you'll get the red carpet treatment. This was the letter that he wrote. We still have that letter, and I got it because he sent a copy to Jayananda's parents, and his mother forwarded a copy onto us to tell us how this person remembered Rathi Yatra and Jayananda. So it's one of the ways in which we can see how a saintly person becomes more famous even after they pass away, after they've left this material world. And there are so many things that are still emerging from time to time. The thing that I remember most about Jayananda is that he gave you the feeling of being someone who really cared about everything about you. He embodied that thing that Prabhupada had, that sense, that compassion or concern, deep concern about everybody else's problems. He almost acted as if they were his problems. And he treated the devotees. Everybody regarded him like a father. He was older. He was about 30 when he joined the temple in San Francisco. He was driving a taxi cab, and he had a degree in engineering, but he didn't like the corporate world. He didn't like to work. He always said he'd rather be driving a taxi cab and meeting people. So he joined the temple. One of the first things he did was work on the Rathi Yatra festival. Another way to see how he's being remembered long after he had left was another incident that I'll tell. I was in it. This took place maybe about 15 years ago. I was going to see Nisringananda in Topanga Canyon, which is about a 45-minute drive outside of L.A. where he has his ascension. So I was stopping it. I didn't want to go to his home empty-handed, so I was getting some milk or something. There was a little market, a very small place, and there was just myself and the vendor, the owner, and then there was this very tall person with a big beard, and I was looking. I couldn't find what I was looking for, and I kind of felt this guy was following me. And as I went from one place to another, he just seemed to kind of stalk me. You know, he was like right behind. And then I noticed that he'd been drinking because the stench of alcohol was on his breath. And I thought, well, I'm going to get out of here. This guy's up to something, you know. Unpleasant. So I was just about to get what I was going to buy and leave, and all of a sudden he kind of put his hand. He said, "You know Jayananda?" And I said, "Yeah," because I knew him.
But he's passed away, did you know that? He almost started crying. He just, his face just kind of squinched up and he looked so hurt. And he asked me, when did it happen? How did it happen? And then he just was shaking his head. And he said, that Jayananda, he was the nicest person I ever knew. I said, oh, really? He said, why do you say that? So then he told me that he was in Fisherman's Wharf in San Diego, San Francisco once. And he saw the Hare Krishnas chanting. And he had been drinking because he told me that he had this problem all his life. And one of them came up to him with a card and said that, you know, I'd like you to come back to our center and check out our place. Our food is real nice. He said, well, I don't know. He said, I've got a problem, you know, I'm an alcoholic. So, well, what do you do? He said, well, I work. That's when I can. I said, what kind of work? He said, I'm a carpenter. So he said, oh, he said, well, we're working on something right now. We're building some carts. What is it? Rathiatra. And if you could just come back with us tonight, we'll put you right to work. We'll give you room and board. We'll take care of you. We'll give you a nice food to eat. You don't have to worry about anything. He said, oh, really? All right. Well, that sounds pretty good. I'll do that. So Jayananda brought him back to the temple. And he said, well, where do we work? Well, I'd like to see what the carts look like. So he took him back behind the temple at 518 Frederick Street. And lo and behold, there was the Rathiatra. And he said he was so amazed. He said, when I heard cart, I said, I thought there were some little wagons that people would pull. I never thought it was going to be something so huge. And he said, I was completely overwhelmed. And I worked almost all day long. I didn't ever drink. I ate good food. And for the first time in my life, I went for about 3 weeks without a drink of alcohol. And then he said, but that person, he was just the nicest person I ever met. I don't know what happened after the Rathiatra was built, but he just kind of drifted off somewhere. But he had this recollection that was very deep and a very sincere person, even though he still had his problems. So when Jayananda was building, I don't know if you read this yesterday, was building the chariot in New York, it was his idea. They were up all night, as often happens with Rathiatras, building this thing, and a big gust of wind came along and collapsed this wooden canopy. And the way he told me about it was that there was a woman that was watching this from her seventh-story apartment building across the street. She was watching the whole thing and knew they were getting ready. And she said that when she saw this, she just about broke into tears, and she came running down the steps, telling them, listen, you guys got to get that build up. You got to finish it. You got to be out on the streets tomorrow morning. Don't let anything stop you. Just get right back there and start building it. So they built it. They got back into it, into it, swung into action. Everything was done. The last minute, they finished the chariot. And a lot of people were working all night. When Jayananda came out to San Francisco, he was known as Mr. Rathiatra, and he did everything. He got the permission. He organized the advertising. He got the wood. He built the carts. He made sure that the devotees were fed. He gave them a place to live. And after he passed away, the devotees went down to get permission the year after. They sat with the police and park commissioner, and it was all kind of pretty much routine by that time. But there was one lady who always kind of raised objections and gave them a hard time. But they would always overrule her. She was someone on the city council. So they all came and sat down and started their meeting. And then all of a sudden this woman said, where's Johnny? She's calling Johnny and Nada. And so the devotees were kind of, he passed away last year. And all of a sudden she just burst into tears and couldn't talk. And she got up and almost ran out of the room. Then she came back after a while and started regaining her composure, and the meeting went on. But even though she was the most inimical, almost spiteful person about getting permission, as soon as she heard about Jayananda, she just became, she just lost her composure. She was so, became so saddened by his passing, because she was obviously, had a great regard for him. In Los Angeles, Jayananda had been to Tijuana and other places to try to get cures, but he hadn't gotten cures. He had some medical benefits coming, and he came to Well, he was in a room. We rent a hospital bed for him. So we did one of these kinds that you can prop up, crank up, and sits up and sits back. So we thought this is the best place for him. He should be right in the middle of the community, because he was told that he had 2 months, 3 months to live, and somehow he was going on for like 18 months. But at any moment, it could be, the material body could be finished. So he said, you know, you guys ought to have a Rath Yatra here in Los Angeles. Why don't we see about having one here? Completely his idea. So Karandara and Rameshwar and I got in the car with him, and we started driving all around, and we said, gee, you know, there's no place you can have a Rath Yatra in this city. There's nobody around. There's no people anywhere. It's all cars. And everywhere you go, except the downtown, there's a few people, but, you know, it wasn't a very nice place. It was all kind of dirty and paper flying around everywhere. We just thought, well, it's a good idea, but there's really no, people wouldn't see it. Even down Venice Boulevard, or down Broadway, down Santa Monica, Beverly Hills, they're just cars. That's the way LA is. There's not very many people anywhere. So then he said, well, I'm going to the beach. Just have a look at the beach. So we drove down to Venice Beach, and we walked along the boardwalk, and he had to go in a wheelchair, because that's the only way he could get around at the time. He was pretty ill. So we started walking the boardwalk along Venice Beach, and he just all of a sudden starts to light up that this is the place. And there were thousands of people, because this is the place where most people go, strolling, or the tourists, and many people that just come, it's the beach. It's only about a mile long. And this very interesting thing happened. We never found out why, but as we were approaching the end of the boardwalk, a policeman in uniform came walking up to us, and we thought, oh, what did we do now? We were not supposed to have a wheelchair on the boardwalk or something. He just kind of stood there like this, and, you know, right in front of the wheelchair. And he said, how you doing, you guys? I said, okay. He said, I want to introduce myself. My name is Sergeant White of the LA Police Department. And I want to offer my thanks to one who saved one of our men's lives last night. I'm sure you heard about it. It was downtown, there was a gunfight, and he saved one of our men's lives. But we didn't know anything. So he shook everybody's hand, shook Jayananda's hand. Maybe he thought it was Jayananda that he got shot or something. It was just something that happened. There was no explanation for it. And we got back to Jayananda's place, and immediately he said, this is the place. You have to have a Rath Yatra along this beach. There will be thousands of people. And then we started talking about it, and we realized that actually every year thousands of people come to this place. You don't have to advertise. They're just automatically there. So we thought this is a good idea, and we asked our then GBC Rameshwar about it, and he said, now I have to think about it, it's a good idea. So about a week went by, and Jayananda kept asking, what did he say? Is he going to give us a go-ahead? This was maybe in February. Anyway, to make a long story short, he got impatient, and he, from his bed, picked up the telephone and ordered a bunch of lumber, which he paid for with his $5,000 medical insurance benefit. And one day, a few tons of wood appeared in the parking lot of the temple. And Rameshwar came over and said, what's this doing here? What's all this wood? Does anybody know anything about this? And so then we told him. And he just melted when he heard it. Jayananda was so determined. He said, I can't. He said, how can I refuse such a thing? We have to have this festival. So then he called in a devotee named Lalitana, who's an expert builder, and Jayananda, of course, was a construction engineer, so they made a design of the carts, and Lalitana started building them. And they were very special. In fact, to this day, they've never collapsed. They're still running. That was 1977, and they're still in almost perfect condition. Lalitana made his own wheels with big bands of metal, which he bent around and made spokes out of big metal and welded them all together onto a big axle. And then he had them sent to another state from California to Arizona to have rubber vulcanized onto the outsides of these metal bands. Still the same rubber is there, about an inch thick. This vulcanization process is sticking the rubber onto the metal. And so it's never been replaced. It looks almost like it's brand new. Everything was built with such sturdiness and precision that it was amazing. It was a very costly affair. The whole thing cost about $70,000 because we rented tents from India, which came on a boat that arrived 2 days before the festival. And the whole thing was a bit of a miracle, actually. It got pulled off in the time. We had to get permits from about 35 different government agencies, city government agencies. So every night, Prabhu Brahman and I would go into Jayananda's room and tell him what we did and give him a little report, because he was the mastermind. And every night he would say something like, "Why don't you know you guys do it? I really don't. It's amazing how you're doing all this." And we felt so proud that Jayananda was praising us, that we just, we're going to get out of here tomorrow and do it again. So we made a grid that had the names of all the devotees in the community. There were about 300 in those days, down one axis. And on the other, we had the days of the week with all the hours. So we had it in the last month organized that everybody was doing something. Everybody in the community in the last 3-4 weeks was doing something every hour of the day. It was a major thing to pull off. It had never been done, and it was 5 miles away. There was a lot of prasadam to get, a lot of money to raise, a lot of things to get from India. And somehow, it was starting to happen. Then one day, it was Chaitanya's birthday, which he had completely forgotten about, and we asked him, we made a little party for him. And the devotees baked 3 cakes, and each cake was shaped and colored just like a Rath Yatra car. They had donuts for wheels, and the colors were the exact same colors as those used in the Puri and the Rath Yatra festival. So we wanted to come out, and he said, "No, I don't feel like it. I'm not up to it." And they were all waiting over at the parking lot, about half a block away from where he was in hospital bed, in his bed. So we had to create a bit of a ruse, and we plotted that Lalitanath, the builder, would come and ask him, saying that he had come up against a destruction problem that Chaitanya would have to see because he couldn't solve it by just telling him. So he came to Chaitanya's room. He said, "You know, I need your help. I can't figure out how to do something." And he was telling him what it was, and Chaitanya said, "No," he said, "it's all right. Just tell me. We'll work it out. I don't have to go all the way out there." And he just kept arguing and arguing, and finally said, "Okay, all right. So he got in his wheelchair, and we wheeled him out to the parking lot, and there was a whole contingent of devotees out there waiting with the birthday cakes and having kirtan. As soon as we wheeled him up there, he knew what it was about. And he insisted that we carry on with the kirtan. As he sat there in his wheelchair, he was carrying on with the kirtan. And we asked him to speak something. So he insisted on standing up. Everyone was, "Oh no, he's going to fall down." And the boys were standing on both sides of him. He began to talk. He began to glorify the Rath Yatra festival. And when he spoke, his voice was kind of wobbly. And his tone was sometimes he would be trailing off. And his voice would get loud and soft because he had this lymph node disease. But he spoke very forcefully about how important this was to Prabhupada, how everyone should participate, how everyone should realize that Jagannath is Krishna himself, and this is one of the greatest opportunities for people to get darshan with the Lord, that we should work very hard to make it a success, because we didn't know how long he was going to be around, and that this would please Prabhupada. Just on and on, he spoke for nearly half an hour, and everyone was thinking he was going to collapse at any moment because of his voice. And then finally he sat down, and everyone heaved a sigh of relief, and started the kirtan, and then they started to. He demanded that they start cutting out the cakes so the party would get on, and they started cutting the Rath Yatra carts, and they brought a big piece to Jayananda in a plate, and he started, asked for a knife, and he cut it up and started giving it to all the kids. He wouldn't eat any himself until they had some. So that was a very memorable occasion. And then he passed away about May now, so it was just a few months, the festival, so that 3 months was in August. And so that gave us and the way he passed away was very blissful because there was chanting all around him. And his parents came out, and there was to be a cremation in a big cemetery. And we had a little kirtan out there in the cemetery, and then they brought the casket in and put it through this crucible type of affair and fills it with smoke, and that's the ceremony. So his mother was very grief-stricken at the whole thing. And so we asked her, it was myself and Chitukananda and Chananacharya and Rameshwar, we had the kirtan, we asked them both to come back and join us for lunch at the temple. So we all went back, and when they came into the room to have prasadam with us, they had completely changed. His mother's grief had gone away from her face, and she started telling stories about what Jayananda was like as a child. And it was amazing because just an hour ago she was in tears and sobbing and very stricken. Now she was almost like a little child, just telling about the pastimes of Jayananda as she was eating prasadam. And we could appreciate how powerful being in the association of prasadam was, being around devotees and being in the community. It completely transformed her. And she told all kinds of really interesting anecdotes about what he was like. And then we started telling her things that he did. And her father, her husband, his father, some of the things that Jayananda did in the community. And they were very amazed to hear what kind of a person he was. And how much adulation he experienced being in the community, how people revered him, regarded him so highly. So that was a wonderful experience. Then it came day for Rath Yatra. And after Jayananda passed away, we felt very obliged to work hard and stayed out the last few nights before Rath Yatra. And it was tents came just the day before, and it was very miraculous that we went around begging for money. We got three elephants to come. It was a big media event. And it was just a wonderful, wonderful festival. So after it was over, about 10:45, we were watching a national news program, and it was a miracle that they even broadcast it on the national news, because it's always usually about sleazy, violent, scandalous things, and they were broadcasting something about Hare Krishna Rath Yatra. The reporter was interviewing many people. There were maybe 50,000 people who came, and so we decided to watch it. I remember I could barely keep my eyes open, but it was an incredible broadcast. They showed the Jagannath Puri temple in the background, and so this lady was interviewing various people. I remember her name was Lovejoy, Karen Lovejoy, and she said it was the greatest story she'd ever covered, and she was covering it. So all of a sudden, out of the thousands of people that were there, she was interviewing Jayananda's mother and father. And she said, "What's your name?" She said, Mr. and Mrs. Jim Kaur. "Well, where are you from?" "Grand Junction, Colorado." "That's a long ways. Did you just come to happen to walk into this, or did you come for some reason?" "Said, no, we came because we wanted to see this festival." "Why did you come all the way from Grand Junction, Colorado?" "Well, our son, he actually built these carts, and he died of lymph node cancer about 3 months ago, so we wanted to see the festival." So it was just too much to not broadcast. It was an amazing coincidence in their eye that these people had come in, and that there they were, you know, on national television, which in those days was viewed by 20 or 30 million people. So that just kind of, you know, made the whole thing a perfect ending. It was like the icing on the cake. Jayananda's glory had been broadcast to millions of people at the end of the day, and we were sort of half conscious from working ourselves to the bone day and night. It was a very fitting, appropriate way to cap the festival. Then the next morning we went back and cleaned it so well that you couldn't tell there was a festival there. And keeping with Jayananda's mood, we made a complete cake, about 40 of them, for each and every agency that we had to get permission from, and personally delivered them over a period of about 2 weeks with a note thanking them and asking them to please share this cake with everyone in the office. Because that was Jayananda's style. Whenever someone did something, he always reciprocated. So he felt that that also was a good ending. Jayananda Prabhu ki jai.